There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on a Friday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Of course, you're a big part of the show at 343-0106, 343-0106. If you had a chance to check it out earlier on our Facebook page, you would have seen, you'd have checked out what was happening there, because we went on a tour through the showcase home here at, I want to get it, because DJ and Marsha are here with me to talk about it. I asked this the other day on there. Am I in Southern Fairhope or am I in Northern Barn? Where is the demarcation line of where I am? I'm calling this Fairhope. Is this?
So it's kind of tricky.
Hey, DJ. DJ, y'all.
How y'all doing? So it's kind of tricky. It's county, but we are in Fairhope area, but it's point clear. So you
get point clear.
So you can be one of the three.
Okay. Yeah. So you could call, I like that. So you got some options. And while there are homes, and we'll talk about that in the parade of homes all over Baldwin County to look at, but right now we're stationed at the showcase home, and I'm in here with DJ and Marsha, and y'all, you got to be super proud of that property. I mean, what a home.
It turned out great, you know. And we're here at the Colony of the Grand is where we are. This is where the neighborhood is. It's 200 acres out here. So we've been out here for about 4.5 years building these houses, and we're about halfway through. And we were just lucky enough that the Home Builder Association got with us, and we built a showcase home this year, and we're super proud of it. And would love for everybody to come out here and check it out this weekend.
Oh, you got great reason to be proud. When I was coming in here the other day, just scouting where I was going to set up our vehicle and everything, my head was on a swivel, because all the homes in here are just beautiful. And the way they fit into the landscape, you talk about that 200 acres, you fit them in here, it's all just... It's not like you leveled everything and just put homes in here. You worked them into the landscape.
That's right. We try to save as many of the oaks in here that we can. There's trees that are 200 years old out here. I mean, they're amazing. They're beautiful. Everyone loves oaks. So we try to, blend that in with the landscape in the yards and also on the property, because, there's so many walking trails around here. It gives people something to be proud of and look at as they build, they live, and be a part of a community here in at the Grand.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The way you have these houses accessing the natural space out here, and there's quite a bit of the natural space, and you talk about the amenities as well. I'm going to get back to the house in a second, because it's going to blow your socks off, y'all. But where you sit here, there's so many amenities that come with living here.
There is. Just in the neighborhood itself, we have a lot of landscape parks. We have a garden house where if you're a gardener, you can rent a spot over. Tomatoes, whatever you want to put in there, you can.
Like it.
That's right. So they have that. And like I said, we have over 200 acres of walking trails in here, lakes. Or in here, we have three different lakes, and then we have the golf course. So the golf course is in the surrounding area of Battles Trace.
It's fantastic. So Battles Trace is the name specifically.
That's
here
correct.
For the area.
That's right.
We're in. I want y'all to talk about and DJ, who built the home.
Yes.
You said this is an eight month project.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These houses in here, they're semi-custom homes, more towards the custom end of it.
Sure.
And it's a good time frame for that type of house that we're building out here. We have a lot of great vendors. We have a lot of great subs that we've worked through the last few years and really found quality guys. We care a lot about the quality. It's not quantity to us, it's quality, and that's what we're really pushing out here. And that's why people want to move to this community because we put, you know, our blood, sweat, and tears into these houses because we're making memories for people. We're not just building the house. I mean, you're going to have, it may be your first home, it may be your retirement home, but I mean, it's awesome to know that we are a place that we are making memories for people.
That's for sure. And what a place to make those memories. Marsha, let's talk about this weekend. Next is Parade of Homes. Yeah, so this
That's
is
correct.
A big deal. So Parade of Homes, people are ready to come to check out what's going on in their neighborhood or a neighborhood
that's,
distant.
That's right. The parade is this weekend, the 24th and 25th, and October 31st and November 1st. It's from 10 to 5 both days.
Okay.
So come out, check it out. The Showcase Home is a $5 donation. The donations go to the Baldwin County Advocacy Center, which is the care house here in Baldwin County. You can get the parade maps at www.bchba.com. That is our website. You can download the Parade of Homes app from your to your phone.
And with that, they can kind of map you around.
Correct,
where to go.
Correct, and it will also give you a detailed list on all the homes and the descriptions and the builders and all that sort of stuff. So you don't have to have the paper.
Right. Well, it'd be great if we looked at every home, but somebody could look through that and say, "This is kind of where we want to look." Right?
That's correct. That's correct.
You plan it out.
Right. Right. You can also get parade tabs if you rather have paper copy.
Right.
It's in the Today's newspaper, the Mobile Register, Gulf Coast newspaper. And you can use the map in that to go by.
All right. So when somebody comes, so Parade of Homes, you talked about, we're talking about Bay Minette, obviously down to where we are. Kind of what's the scope of this?
From Bay Minette all the way to Orange Beach.
Wow.
There's 23 homes in the parade this year.
And so, they're different kinds of homes, different ideas?
What? Yes. And they were, as far as the price range, they're all price ranges.
Okay.
So just go and look it up on our website. There's a list of them there. And go from there, you know. Pick out the ones you want to go to. Go to all of them. You got 2 weekends.
I tell you, this is quite a treat right now because homes are in such high demand right now that people may have to get to wait to see a home. They may say, oh, I can get to you. It's going to be 10 days,
right.
12 days.
Right.
Y'all are inviting folks to
Correct.
Come check it out this weekend.
Correct. Yes. Come out. Like I said, it's from 10 to 5, Saturday and Sunday, both weekends.
All right. We'll talk more about this as we continue here. And y'all can come by once again specifically to check out the Showcase Home at 862 Apricot Lane. But it's the Battles Trace subdivision here. Y'all got to see this home. And if you get a chance, go check out the video we shot for Facebook Live just a little bit ago. You'll check it out right there. DJ Marsha, thank you for having us here. We'll check back in just a little bit.
Thank you for having
us.
All right, coming right back. You saw it before the debate last night. You saw Tony Bobulinski roll out what his dealings were, business dealings were with the Biden family. I think it was an eye-opener. It's a wonder to me it's not on the front page of every newspaper today, but we'll break it down when we come back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday and live at the Showcase Home for the Baldwin County Parade of Homes. Also want to check in with the Parade of Trucks, that selection at LCM, and say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby. Hey, Larry.
Hello.
There he is. All right, hey, Larry, give me a run through. If we're going to have a parade of trucks, you got a lot of them on the lot. Let's talk about what we can check out. What's brand new?
All right, we got 3 crew cab Z71s, all 2018 models, all four-wheel drive, all loaded up, good miles. So we got those. We got other trade-ins. Matter of fact, we got a 2006 Z71 extended cab four-wheel drive, locally owned with well below average miles, and it's $8,800.
I like that. You're talking about language in trucks and in price, and let's talk that third leg of the stool, the great financing at LCM.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we've got credit unions are buying real heavy. They got great rates, you know, single digit rates. So we're good there. We got finance companies, we got banks, we got multiple lenders. So we got a great choice of finance sources.
You know, and that's one of the things that you've taught me over time, too, that pairing the right lender for the right vehicle or the right person, it's not one size fits all. You can do a lot better if you pair the right folks together.
Absolutely. Cause, you know, it can save up, as we've shown you before, up to thousands of dollars on the bank contract.
It makes a big difference in the monthly budget and the value of that vehicle. Larry, tell folks how to come find you.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, we'll grab some texts and calls as well throughout the next hour and a half or so. But I want to start off this way. We can talk about last night's debate. Now, I know Jeff talked about it during his show, and Dalton and Dan were talking about this morning during the morning show, and I'd love to hear from you, your reaction to last night's debate. I thought it was the better of the two, although that's not like a big stretch. I would like to hear from the person that thought the first debate was the better one. I mean, I think everybody's going to say last night was better than the first. And I, after watching that, I said, well, nobody's minds were changed. It's all, but then again, you heard earlier people say they had their minds changed by last night's debate, so I'd love to hear from you on that. But before the debate even got started, to me, what was fascinating, as this discussion of Hunter Biden's laptop has bounced around from here to there, and obviously not making the front page of a lot of publications out there, which, as I said last week, just gets it more attention. Right. I mean, the fact that it's not being shown on a lot of websites, not being put in a lot of publications or electronic media companies just brings more attention to it. You know, wondering what are they trying to hide in there? Well, I thought the story moved forward at a light speed yesterday with a presser held just an hour and a half before the debate, when the one time partner of Hunter Biden in this company, Tony Bobulinski, had a presser, and we're going to grab a little part of this here. I want you all to hear this, and I want to get to reaction. So, Dalton, let's go ahead and roll Tony Bobulinski from yesterday.
To protect my family name and my business reputation, I need to ensure that the true facts are out there. In late 2015, I was approached by James Gillier, whom I had known for many years, about joining him in a deal which he said would involve the Chinese state-owned enterprise, CEFC China Energy, and what he called one of the most prominent families in the United States. I was informed first by Gillier, and then by Hunter Biden, and by Rob Walker, who was working with the Bidens, that the Bidens wanted to form a new entity with CFC, which was to invest in infrastructure, real estate, and technology in the US and around the world. And the entity would initially be capitalized with $10 million and then grow to billions of dollars of investment capital. After months of discussion, I agreed at Gillier and Hunter Biden's request to become CEO of the entity to be called Sinohawk. Sino representing the Chinese side, Hawk representing Hunter Biden's brother Bo's favorite animal. And between February and May 2017, we exchanged numerous emails, documents, and WhatsApp messages concerning Sinohawk and its potential business. On May 2nd, 2017, the night before Joe Biden was to appear at the Milken Conference, I was introduced to Joe Biden by Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. At my approximately hour-long meeting with Joe that night, we discussed the Bidens' history, the Bidens' family business plans with the Chinese, with which he was plainly familiar, at least at a high level. After that meeting, I had numerous communications with Hunter, Walker, Gillier, and Jim Biden regarding the allocation of the equity ownership of Sinohawk. On May 13, 2017, I received an email concerning allocation of equity, which says 10% held by H for the big guy. In that email, there's no question that H stands for Hunter, big guy for his father, Joe Biden, and Jim for Jim Biden. In fact, Hunter often referred to his father as the big guy or my chairman. On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face to face. In fact, I was advised by Gillier and Walker that Hunter and Jim Biden were paranoid about keeping Joe Biden's involvement secret. I also had a disagreement with Hunter about the funds CFC was contributing to Sinohawk. Hunter wanted $5 million of those funds to go to himself and his family, so he wanted the funds wired directly to an entity affiliated with him. I objected because that was contrary to our written agreements concerning Sinohawk. He said, referring to the chairman, his father, that CFC was really investing in the Biden family. that he held the trump card and that he was the one putting his family legacy on the line. He also said to me on May 17th, 2017, that CSC wanted to be my partner, to be partner with the Bidens. During these negotiations, I repeated to Hunter and others that Sinohawk could not be Hunter's personal piggy bank. And I demanded that proper corporate governance procedures be implemented for capital distributions. Hunter became very upset with me. CSC, through July 2017, was assuring me the funds would be transferred to Sinohawk, but they were never sent to our company. Instead, I found out from Senator Johnson's September report that the $5 million was sent in August 2017 to entities affiliated with Hunter. Tomorrow, I will be meeting with the Senate committee members concerning this matter, and I will be providing to the FBI the devices which contain the evidence corroborating what I have said. So I will not be taking any questions at this time.
So you're listening to that, I want to get... So I thought that was very compelling because it wasn't just like, oh, well, there's these emails, there's... it was not a third party talking about what existed on the laptop. It was a first-hand party to it, Tony Bobulinski, talking about what happened in this process. I thought that was extremely compelling. And with some news groups, yeah, do I understand why they're not going with it? Sure. But others, I don't. And once again, it's not just... It's not just... saying what might be out there, we heard there was a leak. You got this guy on the line here saying this is what happened. This Tony Bobulinski is saying what happened. So does this move the needle? Were there people that either they weren't going to vote and now they're going to go vote for Trump because they said, well, we can't do this. This is exactly what we feared it would be, this kind of hustle going on with the Biden family. Or are there people that were, or were you a Biden supporter? And now you're going to either not vote for Biden, that's interesting, or are you going to go and vote for President Trump? Did that, if you were somebody that was leaning towards Biden or a Biden supporter, does this make any difference to you? Is this okay? Is this, you'll vote for it because it's okay? Once again, there's not just allegation what might be on the laptop, even though I think that shows, has been shown some merit. But this guy yesterday, do you not believe him? Do you think it's all created out of whole cloth? And if you think any of it is true, then how do you go and vote for Joe Biden? How do you do this? Yeah, there's Tony says, heck, I'm going to vote twice for Trump. Now, I want to, let's see. All right, so this texter says, Sean, come on, man. 2016 proves bad business deals don't mean blank. Trump University bankruptcies, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let's get it. This is an interesting angle on this. They go on to write, we could have an entire newspaper full. The Republicans talking about bad business deals is met with belly laughs. They have forfeited all right to talk about another candidate's character and business deals. My foot. As an American, unnamed texter, as an American citizen, I have the right to ask about these questions before I place a vote. And if you want to say Trump University and all that, once again, if there was something done there, you prosecute it. But the difference was that was not, he was candidate Trump, and actually before that, business person Trump. Now you're looking at a situation where Joe Biden was vice president of the United States. Heartbeat away from the presidency. Top of the stack after 4 decades in the Senate. After 4 decades in the Senate, and people often will say, well, everybody in Washington's corrupt, Sean. And I'll say, wait, let's get evidence of that. I know you're feeling, but you can't just, remember how many times have I said, you can't just throw a blanket comment out that everybody's corrupt. Here's a dang example of at least what looks like straight up simplistic influence peddling for big money, for big money. How is this not important? How is this Trump University? No, I don't think you compare the two, and I'm not here to defend Trump University. I'm here to tell you, if you want to put those two things, what was described by Tony Bobulinski here and what was in a Trump University thing, if you want to make an equation between those, you're wrong. You're wrong. You know, I mean, if you're saying, well, I don't believe anything Bobulinski said, well, okay, then we can argue about that and see where it goes. But if you're saying, well, I believe it, but it's no different than Donald Trump and Trump stakes or Trump University, give me a break. Really, you don't see a difference between those two? You see nothing? I mean, it's this is exactly what everybody wonders or worries about happening, right? How many times have people go into Congress and they come out million? How does this all happen, right? And I look through it and I go, well, you have to. This person did this, and then they got a consulting fee. This is straight up influence peddling. If half of what Bob Alinsky is saying in this is true, this is selling the influence of the vice presidency and therefore our republic to foreign actors. It's what it is. Tell me I'm wrong. Hop on the phone, 343-0106. We can do that until we get around to what do you think about Joe Biden saying getting rid of fossil fuels, too. What does that do to the average American family? All right, coming right back. More of this show we like to call Midday Mobile. We are live at the Baldwin County Parade of Homes Showcase Home right here in South Fairhope. A beautiful spot, too. We'll talk more when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We are live right here in South Fairhope Colony, right? Colony at the Grand area. And brand new buildings coming into this part of a 200-acre neighborhood. And they are part of the Baldwin Parade of Homes this weekend. We're at the Showcase Home, 862 Apricot Lane. Talk more about this home. And you can go check our Facebook Live video as well. We did a walkthrough. What a home. You're going to want to see this one for sure. All right, speaking of homes and speaking of people that are working on their homes, as we continue our discussion, not to let it go into the back of the mind for anybody. People still daily dealing with the effects of Hurricane Sally. And one of the questions I get a lot from folks is, you know, what about FEMA? When does this all end? When is our application period over? So lucky for us, Michael Wade, who's Assistant External Affairs Officer with FEMA, joining us now to talk about the disaster recovery and how it pertains to FEMA. Michael, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about that. From a FEMA perspective, where are we in the recovery process in South Baldwin and South Mobile County?
Well, actually, the recovery is going pretty good from our perspective because we have already provided over $48 million directly to disaster survivors within the three counties that were declared as part of this declaration. So, we're well on the way. We still have until November the 19th when the registration deadline occurs, but that doesn't mean that things stop after the 19th. Everything will continue to go through the process even after the registration deadline.
Okay, so till the November 19th, the last day to get that filed, but that doesn't mean that's when the work for FEMA would end at that point.
That's correct. It'll take quite a while, up to 18 months to get everything completed before we will actually even look at closing this portion of the disaster out, at least for individuals and renters and businesses.
Yeah, that's I want to take that for a second here because I want to get back to homeowners. But you said renters, and in discussions I've had with folks with FEMA in the past, that's an area that a lot of people didn't think that they had any reason to apply if they were a renter, but they do.
Yeah, they do. Obviously, they can get help with if the apartment or home that they're renting is not habitable, then they may be eligible for rental assistance from us, maybe replacing some of their personal items, their personal property to get them back on their feet. So renters, people do have a tendency to forget about the renters, but they have every right to apply just like a homeowner does.
Okay, let's talk about this process with homeowners. Michael, because I have people who will send me text or emails or call into the show and say, I applied, but I was denied. And I know from information I've heard in the past, that doesn't mean it's all over, right? Just a letter of denial doesn't mean you don't have a chance at getting assistance from FEMA.
That's correct. And there could be a multitude of reasons why people are denied. Probably the biggest reason is they tell us they have insurance before we can provide them that assistance that they may need to cover their uninsured or underinsured losses. They need to provide us a copy of either a letter from the insurance company denying them coverage or actually showing us their proof of loss showing exactly what the insurance paid them, because by federal law, we cannot duplicate whatever they get from their insurance company.
Okay, so it's the margin.
That's probably the biggest issue that we have right now.
So you would have to, if somebody has yet to get, you say duplication of coverage, do you just need to look at what's covered, or do you need to see here's the check they received from their insurance company?
We have to have a, basically, from their proof of loss with their insurance company, it will show them exactly what they were paid for and for what purpose. So we can't say their insurance policy covered them to live someplace else for a period of time. We can't duplicate those benefits, but if that portion of their policy has lapsed, then we may be able to provide them additional living expenses to continue staying someplace until they can make their home habitable.
You know, I've heard people ask this question, so I'll ask it again. What about deductibles? Is there assistance from FEMA if they have a very high deductible?
No, FEMA does not pay deductibles. That's just the way the law is written. However, the Small Business Administration, through their low-interest loan program, can help people with their deductibles. And I want to tell people that don't leave that avenue of their recovery on the table by not talking to SBA and possibly applying for a low-interest loan to get them whole. FEMA can't make them whole. Our purpose is to make your home safe, sanitary, and functional. As long as you can live in your home while you're making your long-term repairs, that is our goal. But SBA can help people with their long-term repairs to get them back to where they were prior to the disaster.
Talking with Michael Wade from FEMA. Michael, the best idea, if you had to do one before the, is FEMA first and then SBA, or is that the formula on this?
You should file with FEMA first, and even if you can go to SBA without filing with us, but we can at least look at you to see if there's something, a grant that we can provide you that you don't have to pay back. And then if we can't help you with that, then we may in fact then refer you to SBA.
What about I'm thinking about just areas here along the coast, there's a lot of rental properties, and I know you addressed from the renter's perspective, but these might be, you know, short-term lease vacation properties or something like that. If somebody who doesn't live in that condo, that home or something like that, but they have those damages, would they still go through FEMA for what the insurance doesn't cover, or do they go to SBA? How does that work?
No, we do not cover secondary homes. Our primary responsibility is to help you recover from where you live full time. But SBA may be able to help you with that because they look at it as rental property. Mm-hmm. So you may be able to get assistance from SBA for that rental property or that second home.
Michael, I have a question. A couple questions coming in here on the text line. This one, I have a question for the FEMA representative. My home is insured, but my roof is excluded. So I do have a settlement, but not on the roof. Can I file with FEMA for my roof because it was denied?
If they already have a file with us, if they've already applied for assistance and they're that far along in the process, then they would need to appeal. Because they've probably already been told that they're not eligible for assistance because of the insurance. So they just simply need to file an appeal, and how to do that and where to send that appeal letter to is in their letter that they received from us.
Okay, and so check it out again on that. And what about that? Somebody who you mentioned the number one reason for getting a denial, and you talked about the insurance part of it. Is there something else that somebody's received a denial that they should check? Is that listed what they can fix to be approved?
Yeah. In the letter, it will tell them information that we may be seeking. Some of the problems that we have is that people move, they change their address, they change their phone number. And anytime somebody does that, they need to stay in touch with us and continue to provide us that information so that if we need to reach them, that we have a good phone number or a good address to mail them something if we need to. And that phone number is 1-800-621-3362. So that number is covered 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to midnight Central Time.
Here's a question on generators. Do you have to have a, and I'm paraphrasing because it's locked up here, but basically do you have to have a medical device to be able to be compensated for buying a generator?
You know, that's a question that I haven't been asked since I've been here. I would actually have to give you a, get an answer, because that is one of the things that the state puts a requirements on and not necessarily FEMA. So I will get you, matter of fact, when we get off the call, I will get you an answer to that so that you can respond to them.
All right, very good. Because that's, yeah, because I know a lot of people had questions about generators. Once again, let's talk about the deadlines here, because John's asking, when is the deadline to file for assistance from FEMA or SBA?
They're both November the 19th, both of them, SBA and FEMA.
And asking, are there no payback grants available? But that's what SBA is, right? A low cost, is it? Well, it's a loan, I guess, versus a grant.
SBA is a low interest loan. Any money that you receive from FEMA is a grant that does not have to be paid back.
So FEMA is the grant, and SBA is the low interest loan.
That's correct.
Anything else that you're hearing doing this every day that people are asking, some kind of something that you see affects a lot of people?
Well, the biggest thing is a lot of times when they read, they first get the letter and they see that they are denied, that's where they stop reading. I just strongly recommend that people go completely through the letter to understand what we need in order to get them back on track. After they read the letter, or if they don't understand it, they can call the 800 to call our helpline to get an explanation. Or if they have an online account, obviously they can go directly via email with that online account to get that, get those questions answered.
Michael, I appreciate your time and your update on this, and we'll try to catch up again before the 19th of November.
That would be great. And again, I appreciate the opportunity. And if you have any other questions, Sean, you have my phone number and my email address. Send me those questions, and I'll get you an answer to them.
We will absolutely do it. Michael Wade with FEMA, thank you for your time. Thanks for being part of the show.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, coming back, we'll grab phone calls and text. I know a lot of people wanted to chime in on what I had to say about the Bobulinski pressure. I think it's huge. I think it's a false equivalency if you're trying to say, well, this is like Trump University. But I'll talk to you about that when we come back. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, let's get right to it, and go to the phones first up at 343-0106. Let's go to Rusty in Gulf Shores. Hey, Rusty.
Hey, Sean. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. So you watched that pressure with Bobulinski yesterday?
Yeah, this is the thing that stood out to me. At the end of that presser, like, the reporters went after him and asked him, who paid for you to be here, who paid for you to be here? He had that question twice, and mm-hmm. he responded, I paid for myself to be here. This doesn't shock me at all. And this is, you know, I think this was the October surprise. And this is probably the reason why I don't like early voting. I mean, you know, things like this come up, but, you know, I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand us as a country anymore. We allow this type of corruption in our politics.
And this is, and once again, trying to draw an equivalency, you know, between the Trump University. Well, first of all, if you think Trump University is at the same level, then I would argue that actually, but he was a candidate, actually he was a citizen and not the president, versus Joe Biden. I don't think they're equivalent in level, but Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States when this happened. I mean, this is
right.
This is what I'm always, when people are saying, they're all corrupt, Sean, I'm like, well, yeah, settle down. Let's see. They may not all be corrupt. This is the stuff we're talking, this is, okay, here's concrete example. If this is true, if half of this is true, there's a smoking barrel here, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing about it is you look at it, and it's not just Biden. I mean, I'm sure there's politicians on both sides of the aisle. But you know what? You're right.
Oh,
you're
gosh,
exactly,
yeah.
Right. Trump was a private citizen.
Yep. And
you
Joe
know,
Biden
and,
was
and
vice
you
president.
You can't make the same equation that, okay, well, Trump University. You look at all these people that got drug out by the Kavanaugh hearings, and a lot of these people didn't want to be on camera. I mean, the one lady didn't. Like, she didn't even want to be on camera. I listened to this guy, and, you know, this guy gave, there was a report, or this guy made a statement earlier this week or last week. I don't remember where it was, and I don't remember where I read it. But he basically asked for Biden and them to come forward to address these issues because he didn't want to be in the middle of it. He wanted to go on with his life. And
yep.
You know what? They chose not to. So, you know, you got to take your tea then, you know? But anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, thanks, Rusty. I appreciate the call. You know, I'm looking at a text for somebody text coming in. David says the video of Joe saying that he got the prosecutor fired would be enough for me to convict if I was on a jury. Yeah, David, I'm with you there. But this thing that Bob Alinsky rolls out with this company, this is in other situations, you have a lot of maybes and gray areas. If half of what Bob Alinsky's saying is true, this is not gray area. This is not, this is peddling influence for big money. Let's go to Robert and Atmore next. Hey, Robert.
Hey.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I'm good. So what did you listen to that presser? What did you think?
I really don't know anything about it. I don't know who in the hell Bob Alinsky is. I'm a big Biden supporter. I know this radio station leans very much to the right, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If you disagree with me, you go to the front of the line. So let's get it.
Well, the reason I disagree is because I want anybody but Trump. I don't care as long as they don't kill somebody on there.
This is a great thing. You're the person I've been waiting to talk to.
For sure, I'm surprised. I have a idealistic viewpoint toward Biden. I thought he was an honest man. I don't really know what it is. He's denied all of it, and as he said, she said, just like the trial you were talking about, it was he said, she said. And I have
but
no way of proving it, but I have my bias, just like you have your bias.
No,
your
well, Robert, but this is interesting. So if this is true, if this is proven true, and I think this is the clearest thing that has been alleged here, at least to me. If this is true, you still would rather vote for Joe Biden, if that is true, over President
yes.
Trump. Really?
Sorry.
Why? Somebody who was influence peddling?
You're saying 4 years of Trump? You know what we're talking about. I'm not the only one.
What do you think years of Biden looks like? What does that look like, Robert?
Biden doesn't look like Trump. There's a difference.
No. Do you think that he would have navigated this last year, this COVID year, better than President Trump?
Oh, yes. I sure
do. What would the economy look like?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm a retired person. The economy, I get paid the same. I mean, I get.
Yeah, but the rest of us are trying to make
income.
A living.
I don't know.
Trying to make a living, feeding children. Good economy helps everybody.
I think I wouldn't be voting for Biden if I didn't think it would be better. My God, better than Trump anyway.
But so you would vote for him, even if it turned out to be true that he was influence peddling.
Oh, yeah.
That's still not. You dislike Trump so much that you would still vote for that.
Trump, I know you two bring up the university, Trump University, but he's done so many other things.
What has he done that's equivalent to this? What has he done?
30,000 times.
Tell me, Robert, so what has he done? What has he done that's equivalent to what's alleged here?
He's doing a lot, isn't it?
What has he done that's equivalent to what's been alleged here against the Biden family? What's he done?
What about his secret counts in China?
The one that was open and closed before he was ever a candidate?
Well, I don't know. He says he doesn't have it there anymore, but I don't know. I really don't know. I can't prove anything. I'm just saying. I'm glad to give the other side of the story.
Hey, and I like to hear from people that disagree.
You know,
with me.
Only thing I want to know. You sound like a rational, intelligent person. Do you think Trump is a rational man?
I don't know if I go rational. Depends on what you're talking about. But
rational?
See, for me, more than Joe Biden, maybe. Yeah. Listen, I don't think, I'll flip it around, Robert. If there was somebody that wasn't Joe Biden running against Donald Trump, it might be a different discussion. But I already had huge worries about Joe Biden, and then this? I can't do it. Robert, I appreciate the call. I always love to hear from the other side on this, and we'll be coming right back. We are live at the Baldwin Parade of Homes Showcase Home for 2020. We'll talk more with them and then more with you coming up next hour, 343-0106.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone, and I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. What a cool place to do this radio show. And right next to the Showcase Home for the 2020 Baldwin Parade of Homes. And it is fantastic. I want y'all to go check out that Facebook Live video. We did the tour through there, and it is a gorgeous home. I'm lucky to have DJ who built the home here on site to talk about this.
Yes, sir.
And first of all, talk about this neighborhood, where we are now.
We are in Battles Trace, and it's part of Colony at the Grand. It's incorporated with some other neighborhoods in the surrounding area that's here. It's located on 200 acres. Just Battles Trace itself is here at 200 acres. And like we talked about before, this different amenities that they have out here are just outstanding, you know.
Yeah.
Just a golf course. It backs up to the golf course, and you know, the fitness center, the multiple pools, the 36 holes of golf that you can get in on. So I mean, it's a wonderful place to live.
So when you're coming here and you're buying a home in here, you're also buying, you know, access to all those amenities.
That's correct.
This is So talk to me about this home. I mean, people maybe got a chance to see it earlier, and I hope they see it in person this weekend or next. But tell me about the home.
So the house that we're showcasing is right in our 2,600 square foot home. It's a four bedroom, three and a half bath. It's got a three car garage. And, you know, what really makes this house stand out is, like we talked about, it's the location. This house butts up to a large common area in the back. It's huge. It's gorgeous view. Beautiful oak trees, like we talked about before. You know, this house has a lot of wood accents in it, cypress beams, and it really adds to the character of the house. The outdoor space is one of my favorites. There's a large fire pit in the back. It also has a grill where you can hang out, watch the game, you know, invite people over, grandkids, friends. There's plenty of room to do all of these things to entertain and just watch the football game.
You know, this design's well thought out. When I was just walking through, and I've learned this over years, the missus has taught me things over the decades, and the flow from the kitchen to an outdoor entertainment area is a big deal, or getting something in from the grill back to the kitchen. I used to be like, I just put the grill wherever. But this has been thought out from bedrooms to kitchens to everything.
It had, you know, the few short months that we have that it's kind of cool outside, you can open up those double doors, and you know, and it just makes the space that much bigger. You know, you can have people inside the house, open it up, have people on the back porch, and like you said, it's an easy transition from outside to inside with the food and grilling and just hanging out with the family.
And you taught me a new term. I'm going to use this weekend to impress friends and family. A flex room.
Yes.
Flex room.
Yes, we have a flex room on this house, and it's starting to be more common on homes, and it's basically a bonus room. Here, it's a mud room. That's
okay.
Basically what it is. It's an extra sink area that, you know, if you're a gardener or if you have a flower garden, you can come inside, and instead of using your kitchen sink, you can make that messy and get all the dirt and grime there. Mm-hmm. And then
there's a door you can close if you made a mess in there and somebody knocks at the front door.
That's right. Yes, sir.
See, I've learned over time. All right. I want to, you know, this home, which the showcase home, I want people to come check out. And we're going to talk about how to find that, because Marcia is joining us to talk about the overall Baldwin County Parade of Homes for 2020. This is one part of it, the showcase home, but there's a lot of homes to look at.
That's right. We have homes all the way from Baymanet to Orange Beach. There's 23 homes in the tour this year. It's this weekend, the 24th, 25th, and next weekend, the 31st and 1st, from 10 to 5. There is a $5 donation at the showcase home. It goes to the Baldwin County Child Advocacy Center. And you can get our maps at bchba.com or just download the Parade of Homes app to your mobile device.
So you just go to iTunes or Google Play or something and look for the Baldwin County Parade of Homes.
Baldwin County Parade of Homes.
Now, price range. Let's talk about it. I got to ask you this. So, difference?
We have different price ranges.
So they do. So out of the 23, there's different?
Correct. You know, we've got the smaller homes up to the larger homes. So
what they're doing, too, is we're getting different builders to showcase their homes. So it's in different communities, different parts of Baldwin County, different price ranges. So you can, it's not, hey, you have to break the bank to go out and look at these homes. You can go from one spectrum to the other. So everybody's welcome to come out, and it's in everyone's price range. You can find a house that fits your family.
Correct.
You know, the idea is just that I've gotten from looking at what you did here, DJ. I think there's probably a lot of that. We'd love to see people buy all 23 homes, but even if that home is not in the right place for them, but they see something that a certain builder is doing, they you can go say, I want that thing y'all did. You
correct.
Know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And get great ideas going out looking mm-hmm. houses if you, you know, you may want to remodel, and you go look at that is, and all of a sudden you're buying a new house.
Yeah. It's true. That's true. There's a lot of truth in what you're saying. What do you see? I mean, we walked through there, and the flow and the design, that's one thing that I said, wow, that's awesome, very modern looking. But also, what we don't see very modern looking, you talked about the connectivity here in this showcase home. Instead of pulling a bunch of wires through the that's already been done.
That's right. So, you know, if everyone has smartphones these days, you walk in the house, you download an app, you can run there's a four system stereo in the house that runs streaming music, TV, refrigerators, washer and dryer. It has
washer DJ. Washer and dryer?
Yes, sir. We got it all.
With the app?
Yes, sir. So, you know,
so if I'm laying in bed and I say I did not start the dryer, and I could start it from my phone? This is, okay. We have now achieved a new level. We've achieved a new level in our
next
country.
Next level.
This is great. And I want you all to check that out because, yeah, that could be ideas for connectivity for home. You may take a design that's different than what you all built here, but take something from the connectivity side.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, no, it goes, you know, like I said, the system, the stereo system through the house, it's outside, inside, you know, it's on. If you want to listen to one channel in the living room, but the ball game's on outside while you're grilling, you know, you can change it up. So it's really amazing the things that you can do, and we just hope everybody comes out and sees this showcase home this year.
Oh, man, y'all have got to, and treat yourself to it, and just the ideas I got walking through there. And I do, like I said, I love the cypress beams, and the fact that you use wood, you know, it's a feature. You see that wood, but it's not like a whole wood built. You know, I mean, there's part of me that goes, oh yeah, I'd like cypress board batten on the whole house. I guarantee I'm the only one that wants that in my family.
Right.
But you got those touches of it there that bring it in.
And the biggest thing, too, is the color. You know, we have, you know, Tim Smith is a Sherwin-Williams color we use in the house. It really blends well.
That's in the office room,
right? That's right. You know, and it's not overwhelming wood. You know, it's really, it accents each other.
It does.
You know, it doesn't. It's not a farmhouse.
No.
Which I love farmhouses, don't get me wrong.
That's my thing, but I've been taught over time that's not what most people want. And what I saw in there is enough of a wood and that great cypress grain to make somebody like me happy. At the same time, something's going to make everybody else happy.
That's right. You have to make him and her happy. You know,
her, but yes.
That's right. You're right.
Him to some degree. All right. So once again, it's as easy as downloading the app. Or you said, too, if somebody doesn't go online for some reason, they want to get a print version of the map.
Yes. In the newspaper today, the Mobile Register, our tab came out, and the Gulf Coast newspaper. They can also pick up maps in the Lanyap and Mullet wrapper that's on the stands now.
All right, check out all 23. But yeah, I got to give a tip of the cap to DJ and the crew here for the Showcase Home. No wonder it's the Showcase Home. So check it out, y'all. Thanks for having us out here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, we continue our broadcast live from right here across the street. Although we may back into the driveway here, the three-car garage. We'll see if we can put the mobile command unit in there at the Showcase Home. Come on out and say hello. We're coming right back. Grab your phone calls. I know a lot of people stacked up here. We'll rip and roll with those. Also, we're talking to about Amendment 2 for Baldwin County. Here in Baldwin County, this is a big deal. We've talked about it before. But more about a Baldwin Toll Authority. What does that all mean? That's all coming up this hour.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live from the Showcase Home at right here at the Colony, Battles Trace at Colony neighborhood. So it's like there's so many neighborhoods within neighborhoods. This is a 200-acre neighborhood of pretty darn new homes, and this Showcase Home is a stunner. Hopefully you get a chance to check out the Facebook page and check out the recorded earlier Facebook Live. So it's not live now. The Facebook recorded video of the walk through the house. It is really something. Let me say something, too. Big thank you to my friend Patty over at Allegri. Hooked me up with some decorative pumpkins. I guess, Patty, let me know, were those pumpkins or gourds? Jeff Poore said they were gourds. I thought they were pumpkins, but they're coolest-looking pumpkins. Make sure you go see Patty and everybody at Allegri, because they got the big carving pumpkins, but they got the decorative ones. You know, the stuff you put where you decorate stuff, like at the front of the house. And kind of, they're really cool-looking, so thank you, Patty, for that. Go check them out. All right, to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. And let's go first to, let's go to Damon in Mobile. Hey, Damon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Sean. Yeah, I don't know. I sent a text in, but to me, this is just really, it's almost like when someone, you know, something's coming and that you're just waiting for it, like someone says an envelope is coming in the mail and you're waiting, and it finally comes. Everyone knew this was, Trump has been digging and asking for this, and I was just waiting for the actual date when it was going to drop. I'm a little surprised that they used the same tactic with Comey and a laptop and Mark Weiner's laptop that they used the last time. But Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, influence peddled. That's the reason why he even went with Trump to Washington. They were going to stay in New York, but he invested in a building and got in over his head over his head with it and didn't know how to manage it, and got the use the president's influence to get out from under the property to the tune of probably, I don't know how many, $40, $50 million that he sold to the Chinese. So influence peddling is not anything invented by Biden or Democrats or Republicans. Anyone who gets into a position of authority or has access to someone is going to use it. That's what lobbyists do. That's what everybody does in this country. It's a legitimized criminal activity.
Well, let's say this. I look into this thing with Kushner more. I'm just an American. And so if it's the Trump administration that's doing this and they can roll out a scenario like was done for Bobulinski yesterday, that Bobulinski rolled out about the Bidens, then I'm interested. But right now what I'm dealing with is that allegation made and folks that say they would vote for Joe Biden even if that's true. I think it was Robert last hour said that. And there's always, like you said, there's influence peddling at different levels, and people say, well, everybody in Washington's crooked, and I find myself going, well, not everybody. Let's look for a real example. And when I see something like this, if these allegations are true, this is smoke and gun kind of stuff, Damon. This is absolutely straight up quid pro quo, right? To bring back a term.
Okay. But this is what I have to, I know we're only talking about this president and in the last 4 years, but this is not groundbreaking stuff. And I'm old enough to remember, and I know you are, when Ronald Reagan, everyone's favorite president, or at least the Republicans, had to testify over Iran-Contra. He sold weapons. He sold weapons, taxpayer-paid-for, funded weapons and missiles illegally, and then never said what he did with the money. And he was president.
So was going to the Sandinistas?
Compared to that.
Weren't we funneling that money back in through CIA or something like that?
Never directly answered what he did with the money. Ed Meese quit. Ed Meese worshipped him and told him to quit doing this, and he wouldn't stop. And he finally left the White House because Reagan would not quit selling weapons to the Iranians who took hostages. if anybody else had done that, God forbid Obama had, we'd be wanting to run him out of the country on a rail. And he testified in court in a deposition as a president of the United States for selling weapons to someone who took hostages and never directly answered. He said, I don't recall 70 times.
I do remember that. I do remember that. I don't recall. I do remember that.
No one else remembers it. No one else remembers it. That's the problem.
You had to say the word there. But okay, and so let's bring it down to today. If the allegations are true, if these allegations are true against Biden,
now
let's stay on Biden, and we can go back to Kushner. We'll go back to Kushner. But let me do this: if these allegations are true against Biden, should he be elected president of the United States?
This is my point. And I'm going to
Damon, come on, man. Answer my question. Come on.
Listen, I'm going to be very honest with you. If it's true, what would prevent anyone from being elected president to do anything? If somebody's son works out a deal and his dad gets involved and all kind of... What I'm saying is this. This country has established legalized criminal activity for hundreds of years.
About hundreds of years, but...
It's nothing new.
Now, does that make it okay?
It's not okay.
So it's not okay. So why would you vote for
them? Peddling to get what they want.
But the lobbyists, listen. I got no problem with the lobbyists.
They just sponsor it and take money in their pocket.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I will say this. On the lobbyist side, it takes two to tango. I've said this before, unpopular opinion. I don't get mad at the lobbyists. We all know what their purpose is. I get mad at the politicians that play ball with the lobbyists. Lobbyists are doing what lobbyists do. They're just lobbying, right? It takes another side, somebody else to dance.
They have to get on the committees. They have to raise money to get on the committees.
They have to raise money. They have to raise money, absolutely. But do they only raise money from lobbyists?
Well, my point is this. It's all a big... money-making, hand-back-slapping game. And when they get up there, they all get elected with these high-minded goals, and then after a while they figure out, hey, everybody just in it for the money. Just, you know, you get mine, I'll get mine, you get yours.
So Joe Biden should be president?
Should Donald Trump be reelected after withholding weapons to Ukrainians, asking for dirt on Biden? And now, why would we reelect someone who's proven, and everybody involved with him was practically charged with criminal activity, even this, when he tried to get Ukraine's president to give him dirt on Biden, and he withheld the aid that Congress had already approved. He said, yeah, but you got to do something for me. You got to give me dirt on Biden. Now it shows up 12 days before the election. Give me
so
a
you,
break.
You don't believe it. Would you? So Joe Jorgensen for president, the libertarian candidate, do you think that's what we're left with?
I don't have to be a libertarian to be straight and honest and really look at the fact that political parties have corrupted this country. President Washington said when he left office, the biggest threat to this country is political parties.
That is true. Well said. Thank you, David, for the call. Let's see here. I got tons of texts coming in here too. Let's see. Let's go to Susan in Mobile. Hey, Susan.
Hi. Well, your last caller used a word that I hadn't really thought about with this scenario, but I was going to ask. I will tell you right now, Susan's not my real name, but I didn't want people to know how stupid I am, because my question was going to be, can you pretend that I'm your 7-year-old daughter and tell me exactly what happened? I listened to this man's statement of what took place, but I know absolutely nothing about business, and so I don't really understand what took place.
That's
but
a
can
fair,
you like,
I don't think
break
that's a dumb,
it down
that,
and tell me
yeah.
what happened? If it's, like I said, the last
yeah.
caller used the word criminal. I didn't know if it was criminal, unethical, illegal, just
those
immoral.
Are all good questions.
You know, I don't really understand that part of it. Do you mind
okay.
telling me?
Like, sure. And I don't think that... I don't, and the kind of words I can understand too. I'm with you. That's not a dumb question. That's a very fair question. So Bob Alinsky gets up, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but said that he was he and Hunter Biden met. I don't know, back in like 2017. Okay, they met, and the brother, a brother of Joe Biden, Jim Biden, so I guess Hunter's uncle, was there at some conference they had out in California. So you got this guy, Bobulinski, there, Tony Bobulinski, I think, and he meets Hunter Biden and Hunter's uncle, Jim Biden. And I don't know why they all met and started talking, but they did, and they started talking about ideas for business. And I guess this Bobulinski had shown some prowess. He's a retired Navy guy as well. We come back. We'll talk more about this. They basically formed a company to benefit from dealings in China. Okay, and in that, the reason the business would work was the big guy who is part of this and holding back money for the big guy. That big guy, we're pretty sure, is then Vice President Joe Biden. We'll talk about this some more. Plus, we'll talk about Amendment 2 next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from the Showcase home and here at Battles Trace at the Colony in Fairhope. What a beautiful home. One of the 23 featured this weekend and next with the Baldwin County Parade of Homes. All right, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Maybe at your current home, you got junk piled up. Maybe instead of having a junk drawer, you got a junk room. Open that back up. Or maybe junk's outside your house. You got a swing set and your youngest child's in graduate school. Let it go. Give my buddy Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come get it. Storage unit you need cleaned out. If you're trying to get an office cleaned out, wherever you got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And my buddy Trey Bennett's been doing this for 12 years in Mobile and Baldwin County, and he can help you the way he's helped us in the past. So go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment. And they realize you got a busy schedule, so it won't be some kind of, like, they'll be there sometime Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. You're going to have a day. You're going to have a window of time. They show up. They quote you a price. If they say, if you say yes, then they get to work and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right. In just a second here, Baldwin County EMA Director Zach Hood. I do want to just complete something I was talking about for Susan as we went into the break. The way I understand this, Susan, and what was rolled out in the press conference is this Bobulinski was asked to get into this business venture with the Biden family, and you had the uncle and you had Hunter Biden there as well, and they put this together. It was a CEFC, I think is the name they called the company, but what they were doing is investing in China. They had a Chinese state-owned energy company, and they were investing in infrastructure, and then they were going to buy some real estate and do technology, and it would they'd be buying this company, even though a Chinese company that they'd be part of would be buying in the United States as well. And so CEFC was a Chinese company that was going to work with the Sinohawk Holdings, I think is what he called the company. And in the discussion, I mean, they talk about in very open terms, I think, how they got the deal. And then they went back, what everybody loves to talk about here is the money part of it. But I mean, the first part is how they got the deal because of the influence. And the second part is, hey, there'd be money coming into this company, and they had to hold, you know, money back for the big man. And the big man, they're saying, and Bobulinski said it, is that is the big man was a vice president of the United States at the time and candidate now for the president, Joe Biden. So that's where, and no, so those were not dumb questions at all, Susan, and we will, believe me, we'll be digging in this in depth on Monday's show as well. I'm just wondering if it's moved the needle, if it's gotten somebody to change how they were going to vote. If they were a Biden supporter, does it change it, or is it still straight on for Biden? All right, an issue we've talked about a couple times, and one that we've kind of gone into in depth from several sides of it. For Baldwin County folks, you're going to see this on your ballot on November 3rd, Amendment number 2. And this is one that deals with the extension from what everybody's calling, I think, on the text line, that thing that goes from Bucky's up to I-65. That's the road. Zach Hood, who is the director of Baldwin County EMA, is joining us to talk more about that. Zach, thanks for your time.
Yes, thank you for having us on. I greatly appreciate it.
And let's talk about Amendment number 2, that this is basically a... If passed, this, let's say, a board be formed or an authority be formed to build a road and toll it, right?
That's correct. Amendment number 2 will allow for an authority to be collective, as a collaborative authority, to see how we would move forward on the Baldwin Beach Express 2 and how to accomplish the building of the roadway that we're referring to as BBE2, what it would do is connect I-65 and I-10. And so what we need is for the yes, we ask for the yes so that we can look at that group that would create that collaborative approach toward building the Baldwin Beach Express. It would be so important to the Baldwin County Emergency Management Agency in terms of what that would mean for us and our future planning and growth for our county.
Yeah, I want to talk about that from the EMA director perspective. I mean, why is that? Why is this something that's on y'all's radar? I mean, is it safety? Is it growth? Is it what?
Well, I think it's all of those things. If we can look at right now, what everyone could mostly relate to because it was very recent was Hurricane Sally. So, if you look at Hurricane Sally and you look at the circumstances of Hurricane Sally that led up to the day it made landfall. I mean, one thing I want to point out is we had something going on that not a lot of individuals realized, which was the storm originally was forecasted to hit New Orleans and that area. So a lot of the individuals down in that area evacuated to our county, which is makes perfect sense. You go couple hours east and you're out of the way of danger. Well, in this situation, we had a very diverse population in terms of evacuees, visitors, residents, and so we had a extremely large amount of people in our county, as we do now week to week throughout the year because of Hurricane Sally. So what that did for us is raised our occupancy rates. We have a great partner on the coast. We can tell exactly how many individuals we have in our county, especially on the tourism side. And what we had when Hurricane Sally made that turn that we are all familiar with, and made a beeline straight toward Baldwin County, we were at over 80% population on our coast. And so one thing you look at is the storm, the speed, the intensity of the storm, what direct impact locally the storm will have, and how to message the public and what decisions can specifically be made to keep individuals safe in the community as we deal with that storm. So as Hurricane turned and made its way toward our coastal area and proceeded extremely slowly across the county, it was very devastating. One thing that we like to discuss is evacuation. And most individuals do not know that we revamp our evacuation. We have a new study that comes out. It's a partnership. We actually work with Mobile County. We have FEMA. We have the State Emergency Management Agency and some other entities. The Army Corps of Engineers is a primary entity as well, but we all work together and every 10 years and look at the new evacuation study. And what I can tell you is, based on our growth and population, based on the situation with Sally, we need and really need to figure out how to develop ways to get an extremely large amount of people out in a shorter amount of time than we can do so now. And it's just basically because of the infrastructure. We're very lucky. Most roads in Baldwin County run either north-south or east-west. And so there's not a lot of curvature to our roads here. There's very few that actually make little turns and dips and things like that. So it's very straightforward when it comes to trying to get out. But what we're looking at is how many people and vehicles we can get out. And right now, under one of our most worst case scenarios, to completely clear out our coastal region and evacuate our county in a efficient, safe manner, We're at 40 to 45 hours as we sit today.
45 hours, like almost 2 days.
I want individuals to know our study, you know, like I said, we're coming toward the end of the last 10 years, but we will have a new study due, and that study drives a lot of our planning and our efforts in terms of creating new plans for our county. And what we really need is some additional infrastructure so that we can evacuate in less than 45 hours.
What would that cut? Have y'all done any surveys of what it would cut it to if you did have that route open?
I'm not sure specifically on what it would cut it to, but the big thing that we do notice in discussion with not only the visitors but residents is, you know, you're either going to go I-10 or I-65 to ultimately get out of the way. What you can look at and know is that depending on the storm track, one of those ways may be not a very good option due to the path of the storm. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have different scenarios where the storm could come in. It could go more west, or it could go more east. It could, you know, follow straight up 59. It could come in more towards the bayside. I don't want to get too detailed on that because we all know that these storms, they move very differently. They all have their own name. With their own name, they develop their own path and personality, it seems. And so what we need to make sure we can do is just have additional options, have options at getting individuals out. In the perfect world, all of those routes would be open, and it would be a very streamlined evacuation. But there's so much that goes into evacuation that requires a lot of planning, a lot of coordination from us, the state, the federal government. And what I can say locally, what is important for us, to anybody that could be listening to this right now, is that we have options on getting individuals out of Baldwin County in the event that we need to. And the easy thing to talk about are storms, but if you look at our threat hazard identification and risk assessment, we also have hazardous materials that are transported regularly through our county. And we need to be prepared. The hazardous materials, they all have purpose. There's a need. We have a large community for agricultural that have needs for hazardous materials. And obviously, you also have a pretty good amount of fuel and things that are just transported through our county that we have to understand and know that there could be either a shelter-in-place order or an evacuation order for things outside of weather. So, you know, shelter-in-place, you're common. You have a tornado warning, you shelter-in-place. Well, sometimes a hazmat incident would require shelter-in-place, but there are times hazardous materials incidents, specifically around the corridors of the interstate or any public roadways in our county, we would need to issue an evacuation order to get people out of harm's way. And again,
Zach, we are right up against the hard break here, Zach. So I'm going to have to jump here. We'll get more on this, and people, of course, can go to the Facebook page and the website and check more on that. Zach Hood, Baldwin County EMA Director, checking in about a yes vote for Amendment 2 for Baldwin County. We're coming right back. We are live in Baldwin County at the brand new showcase home for the 2020 Baldwin County Parade of Homes. Check it out, that and the other 22 homes this weekend. More details online. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back to Midday Mobile, and joined by another part of the team, another part of the family at Taylor Martino, and somebody that I haven't gotten a chance to meet till today, Amanda Summerlin, joining me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean, for having me.
Hey, it's good to get you in here. I've, you know, gotten to know
a lot of your coworkers, pretty much all the coworkers at Taylor Martino and the family there, so it's good to meet you as well. We're talking before we went on the air, and you mentioned mass torts being your specialty. I'm going to just plead ignorance on this. What is a mass tort?
Sure, Sean. So a mass tort is different than a class action.
Okay.
So with a mass tort, each individual claim will be filed and evaluated, but we share the same judge and the same venue because we've got common issues. So we all want the benefits of knowing the corporate history of the defendants that we're suing. And also we want to have the science and share that and keep our issues, although they are specific as far as the individual. But we want to have the benefit of keeping the litigation issues that are similar in the same place. So we have a mass tort action going on here, several of them with our clients in Mobile.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. Your work as an attorney and kind of educate us. We'll go back for a second because you said mass torts are different than class action. So class action is a term that we hear. People just use that term. Oh, it's a class action suit. The difference you said, what does class action do? And then you kind of laid out what mass tort is. So educate us.
Sure. So with a class action, it's really where a group of people all go in together on one claim at the same time. And so when you have resolution with class action, you divide it out, whatever the settlement is.
We've all gotten that check for $5.17 from something in our car or something like that.
That's right. That's right, Sean. That's exactly what it is. And so this is different because everybody's exposure is different. Everybody's experience is different. And also, of course, medical history. So we have a benefit there in that we evaluate each claim, but we also can share some of the knowledge of the science and corporation.
Thank you for the education so we can know the difference between them. So in this mass tort, and this is one that maybe people have heard discussed before. This is, if I get it right, hernia mesh?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. First of all, what's hernia mesh?
So hernia mesh is it is actually a piece of mesh manufactured that is used to put over a hernia in an effort to repair that hernia.
Like a patch of sorts or something.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. It can be square. It can be oval. Some of them look like a badminton, like a little net piece. So there's different manufacturers involved in mesh. So
okay, it's not okay. That's when. So there's not just they're the hernia mesh company. There's more than one that makes it.
That's right. There's about four main manufacturers. There's two or three others there that we also look at, and each of those big companies also makes their own specific products. So it's a pretty detailed process when you look at the different meshes out there on the market.
So it sounds like this is. I want to talk about numbers. Affects a lot of people. You've got four companies making this stuff that's inside a lot of people. What's gone wrong with this? What is the problem here with this mesh?
So for mesh, there are some of them that are made of polypropylene. And for that, it's not something that is always accepted in the human body. But some of the meshes will migrate. They'll deteriorate. They'll attach to organs. They'll also cause obstructions, chronic pain. But the problem with the mesh is that some of these materials that are part of it are not to be used in the human body.
The polypropylene, like Long John's stuff, that polypropylene, like
yeah,
that stuff is
similar, yeah.
So that's, they make the patch out of that. Now I'm picturing this, so it goes inside the person, they sew them up, and then these things happen that you're talking about.
That's right, that's right.
And so how long have they been doing this? Is this a recent occurrence? Has this been going on for a long time that they use these patches?
Yeah, it's actually been going on for a number of years. I know at least back to the 80s. Some back then, you know, were made of different materials than now. But there's just certain ones really that we focused on that we've developed through working with our experts and research that we've linked up to these issues that people have been having and that it's a harmful product that shouldn't be used.
If you're just joining us, talking to a mass tort specialist and educator on this, what a mass tort is, Amanda Summerlin from Taylor Martino, about this mesh. You talked about the different things happening. You said the pain. Okay, I get that one. You said migration?
That's right.
Like moving from where it's supposed to be?
That's right. So if you were going to have a mesh placement near your umbilical area,
mm-hmm.
then it could actually detach from that area and migrate to another part in the body. And this is something that's a fault of the manufacturer. Another thing that we've seen is it could just disintegrate within the body. So you go to the doctor to have this patch placed, and it's there, but the mesh fails because of what it's made out of, and disintegrates within the body. So then you no longer
go.
Yeah. we don't always know the answer to that.
Wow.
Yeah, and so another thing that it can do is attach to organs in your body. So there again, that patch there that was protecting your tissue with that organ has then
moved on and found a new home.
Yes. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Another thing that can happen that's one of the more common too is infection. Some people, their bodies just reject the mesh totally as a foreign object. It can cause infections, wounds that won't heal. Also, if the mesh fails, it can be a recurrence in your hernia. And so that would be another surgery to go through.
Numbers of surgeries. Give us just some ballpark stuff. How many of these surgeries are they doing? How many? You said since the 80s.
Yeah. So the products that we're looking at are more current than that.
Okay.
Really, really more like 2004
okay.
to current.
Okay. That's 16 years, man. That's a bunch of time. A lot of people, a lot of surgeries.
That's right. So it's around in America, there's roughly 1 million hernia surgeries a year.
Wow.
So some of these products have been recalled. Some have just been taken off the market. Others are still being used today. But there again, you can still have these symptoms and problems. Just because it hasn't been recalled doesn't mean it might not be an issue.
That's a good point. So this one you would know if you had the surgery, since 2004 to now. And if they're obviously feeling any of these issues you talked about, but even if not, it's worth contacting.
Yes, definitely. So we take a look at the records, the original surgery date, and then anything that's happened after that. So sometimes individuals will go in for what's called a revision, where they may reattach mesh that's been detached. You know, we talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may put another piece of mesh over that piece, leave it in. Another surgery would be a removal where, it's decided that the mesh just, doesn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not functioning. Sometimes it's completely removed, and physicians may use a biologic mesh, which is, a different product. But sometimes when it's removed, they'll also put in a replacement mesh, just depending on the individual.
So this, for a lot of people, different versions of this, but it's worth having you look at those records. Y'all can do that and tell us what happened.
Yes, definitely. So the first thing that I do is, get a copy of the records and see what manufacturers at issue. And so once we know what kind of mesh is there, I'm very familiar with the issues and symptoms that those particular meshes present, because
right.
each of them are unique. So we evaluate the claim based on the mesh that was implanted, and then we can also go through the medical history to see what was removed or revised later on and track it from there.
All right. The time is of the essence here?
Yes. There have not been any trials yet in this hernia mesh litigation anywhere here in the country, but we are getting ready. Our first trial group is starting up middle of January of 2021. So anybody that's having some issues, take a look and see if it's a claim we can move forward on.
All right. So somebody would just call Taylor Martino and say, I have the mesh, or they ask for you specifically, Amanda, or what do they do?
Sure, really, either one of those, Sean. They can call and say they're calling about a potential hernia mesh case. They'll be transferred to me. They can call and ask for me. And at that point, I would just find out from them where they had their surgeries, and there's no cost for us to request the records and take a look and
Good
then
deal.
See where we can go from there.
All right. Well, Amanda Summerlin, that's who you're going to talk to. I got the education about mesh and mass torts, and you can get her on your side, like all the attorneys at Taylor Martino. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean.
You can reach Taylor Martino Law Firm online, taylormartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.